Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you would like to get to know a little bit more about me, your host, you can visit my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In today's episode, we are joined by the fabulous and amazing voice artist, as well as my dear friend, Karin Guilfrey. Karin is a voice actor who has voiced thousands of commercials, instructional videos, IVR systems, e-learning programs, documentaries, video games, and she has narrated and produced over 100 audiobooks. And maybe she can show us the mindset to do the same. She is also the co-founder of the business-centered voiceover conference, Vocation. So join us today as we talk about the business side of voiceover, quick audition workflows, and the Vocation conference. Hi, Karin. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I am awesome. So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
I love coffee. I drink like at least one cup, maybe a cup and a half, two cups, depending on how tired I am. Mm-hmm. I like to drink it with half and half, but every once in a while, if I feel like I need that extra like brain boost, have you heard of like bullet coffee where people put butter in their coffee?
Yes, where you put butter
in? I don't put butter in it. I have. I love
it. MCT oil?
No, I just put some heavy cream in it sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
Like whipping cream. Whipping cream, yeah. Like a tiny bit of whipping cream, half and half coffee. But I really like, I like a good balance of cream to coffee. Not too much cream. It's
right.
Not coffee then.
Right.
But no sugar. I'm not really into sugar in the morning.
Yeah, if I put sugar in my coffee, it's almost like, and like if I've got like a late night session, then it's almost like an afternoon treat sort of thing.
Yes. Like, or like every once in a while, you go to Starbucks and you get something interesting.
Right.
Although I'm not a huge fan of, I'm not a huge fan of Starbucks coffee in general. It's a little bit too acidic for me sometimes.
Well, that's actually something they do because most of what they sell is like their sugary and flavored drinks. They actually roast their coffee darker than most roasters do. So that way the coffee flavor still shines through all the other stuff that they're putting in.
Yeah.
So it's actually strategic, but yeah, I agree. It's very acidic.
Yes.
But you majored in vocal performance. Was that tied into you wanting to get into voiceover? Like what's your origin story?
Yes.
How did all this begin?
So it's funny because next week, my performance origin story will come full circle.
Oh yeah?
In that I started performing when I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. In a theater group called Children's Theater Experience, in a production of Annie, and I played Tessie. And I come from a family of performers. Like literally everyone in my family is a performer, a teacher, or a police officer. And a teacher is basically like a performer and a police officer.
Right. My mother's a teacher. I get it.
Right. So there were only three choices for me in life of what I could be: performer, teacher, police officer. And I chose performer. My dad's an opera singer. And yeah, I was in my first show when I was nine in Annie. And I thought that I was going to be a musical theater person for the rest of my life. I did a ton of shows when I was a kid. And then I got to high school and there was a singing competition and the prize was $100. And I was like, oh my God, this is so much money. I'm 14 years old, $100, man. And no one had signed up for the classical music category. And I was like, oh, my dad's an opera singer. I could probably learn an aria. So I learned an aria and I won. And I was like, yes, $100. So then I thought I got to study for the next year. And I did it the next year and the next year. And I found out that I really loved singing opera. So when it came time to go to college, I went to college for classical singing. I went to USC first and then to Juilliard. And I was singing in the professional world for a few years, having some success, but it was just so stressful. And it was like just crushing my soul. And it was also wonderful in a lot of ways, but it was just like so stressful. And I had a friend who was an opera singer who was also narrating audiobooks. And I thought, ooh, that might be something that I could get into. So I asked him how he got into it. And I built a home studio and I started narrating audiobooks. I loved it. I did that for a couple of years. And then I got into more commercial stuff and explainer videos and corporate stuff. And I really left opera singing behind and jumped in with both feet and arms and legs and full body into voiceover. And I have not looked back since. I love it.
Did you find that anything that you learned at Juilliard or anything that you did as an opera singer has like helped maybe your stamina or like any of those foundations have helped your voiceover career?
That's a really tricky question because since I became a voice actor, I've had a lot of opera singer performer friends who've also wanted to get into voiceover. And I find a lot of things that they do are things that I used to do when I first started before I knew what people were really looking for. And that is, as an opera singer, you over enunciate everything. And everything is very much a performance. And you take a good breath and you sing and you speak out and it's like you're performing on a stage, right? And like nobody in voiceover wants to hear that.
Right.
Like even as a character that's like a boring character, you know. So I had to unlearn a lot of things that I did as a stage performer. I had to like really loosen up all my vowels and consonants and try to be a lot more natural. I had to flatten out my soft palate because when I was an opera singer, I used to speak a little bit like this, where it's like, it's just a little bit, my soft palate is a little bit raised and I'm speaking a little bit in my head voice and it doesn't sound completely unnatural, but it's just kind of like, it's not like what people want for commercials, which is like just different.
Right.
So that's the stuff that I had to unlearn. But as far as things that help me, I see voiceover as like singing. So much of it is like singing. It's the same. You're doing the same thing. You're taking a breath and you're telling a story with your voice. Mm-hmm. So for me, it feels very natural to, especially in like a 15-second, 30-second commercial, to take a big breath and then just speak and speak and speak for the whole commercial. And I can speak very naturally and I never have to breathe. And then, you know, it gets to be the end of the 15-second commercial and I'm done.
You're going to have to teach me how to do that.
Which is great because there are no breaths in commercial. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
You can search the internet far and wide. And unless it's like an asthma commercial where you're breathing on purpose to show that you can breathe now because you have a new asthma product or something, there are no breaths in a commercial. So if you are doing an audition and you're like, you know, the new Dawn squeeze bottle, just hold it upside down and then squeeze and then the soap will come out. And after every single thing in the list, you're taking a breath. It's not that it's wrong. It just doesn't sound as polished as people who don't do that. And it's harder for you or for your engineer to remove small breaths than it is for them to remove one big breath and then have you just sound natural and go all the way through to the end of the sentence. So that's what's helped me.
And I've been to a couple of your classes. You don't really teach performance. You teach more the business of voiceover.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that you feel have attributed to your success in the voiceover industry, other than your 3-minute auditioning process?
I do have a fast workflow when it comes to auditions. So one thing that I think I was really missing in opera that I love about voiceover is the idea that I am in charge of my own career. In opera, and also like very in theater and in other kinds of performing, there are all these gatekeepers, and you have to really like go to the right school and coach with the right people and know the right people and network with the right people, and those are the people, your agents get you the opportunities, right? Or the producer that you know opens the door for you to get into this industry. And that does happen a little bit in voiceover, but we all have such greater control over where we get our work, how we get auditions, what work we say yes and no to, and just like a whole bunch of things related to your business that you don't have as an opera singer or as a stage performer or whatever. So that's something that I became very, very passionate about. And Jamie Muffet and I, we started this conference, the Vocation Conference, which is completely dedicated to just the business side of voice acting. The other thing about the business side of voice acting is that it's very complex. There is so much to know. As voice actors, we don't just do one job and like that's the only industry we work in. Right. We do the similar jobs in all different industries. So when I'm narrating an audiobook, I'm working in the publishing industry. When I'm doing, you know, a medical training, I'm working in the medical field. When I'm doing video games, I'm working in the gaming industry. When I'm doing commercials, I'm working in advertising. And every single one of these industries pays differently. The structure of pay is different. And then there are differences between union and non-union. There are different contract things that you have to be aware of. Like, it doesn't matter so much if you do an explainer video and they ask for rights in perpetuity. It just doesn't really matter because it's not a commercial. But a commercial matters because there are legal ramifications if you are the voice of a product and then you voice another product in the same category. Like if I was Dawn dish soap and then I also did a commercial for Palmolive, that would be like a big product conflict and I could get in trouble. So you can't give away rights to an ad in perpetuity because then you have that legal conflict. But these are all like tiny little things that you only know when you've been in the business for a while, or if you go to a great conference or a class or something that talks about that kind of stuff. As voice actors, we are business owners, and we have to treat ourselves like business owners. And the more you treat yourself like you're running a business, the more successful you will be at running that business, in my opinion.
So what do you think are the fundamental building blocks of your business in particular?
Wow, that's a good question. I always try to be as professional and efficient as possible. So you said, you know, my 3-minute audition technique.
Oh, I love it.
That's part of being professional and efficient. Mm-hmm. So if I think of myself as a business, right, and the product is my voice, but also my services, my home studio, my editing capabilities, et cetera, et cetera. I want to put myself out there for as many things that I am right for as possible. And I only have a certain number of hours in the day. Mm-hmm. So if I spend 20 minutes per audition, even if I spend 10 minutes per audition, and I'm doing 10 to 30 auditions a day, that's like hundreds of minutes spending just auditioning. Mm-hmm. So that's not a good use of my time if I'm a, hold on, I have to cough. Okay, I'm back.
Welcome back.
My daughter has been sick, and I hope I'm not getting sick. Fingers crossed.
It's okay. I pre-record these so I can slice and dice.
Wonderful.
So we'll get rid of that cough.
I mean, you don't even have to if you don't want to. It's part of being human, right?
Blooper reels.
Blooper reels. No, so auditioning efficiently is part of my business plan and the goal that I have in my business. And plus, like, if you go to an in-person audition, you're not spending a ton of time. You literally walk in, you read the script with the casting director. They're like, great. They give you a little direction. You read it again. And they're like, great, thank you. And you leave. You're not like agonizing over a word and asking if you can go back and fix a breath that you took or whatever. You just read it and you go. And if they like you, then great. And if they don't, then it doesn't, that's it. You don't get cast. Most people don't get cast.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not like you're not normal. You're not getting cast. Most people don't get cast.
So how are you, what is your process of doing an audition in 3 to 5 minutes? How do you manage that?
So usually I love it when the audition script is in the body of the email.
Mm-hmm.
Makes my life super easy. Or if it's a job posting on an online casting site, I love when the audition script is on the page. I don't have to download anything. So I open up the email. I see what the product is. I read the specs really quickly. I get an idea in my mind of what type of commercial they're going for. There really are only a few types of commercials,
right?
There's like the happy, upbeat, I'm your friend, and we're gonna like, and I'm like a fun mom or whatever. And this is like the happy commercial. There's like the kind of moody commercial where there's only a few words every few seconds. You know, whatever that commercial is. There's that one. There's like the kind of more infomercial, which doesn't happen a lot. You know, there's only a few.
Right.
So I read the specs. I figure out in my mind what type of commercial they're doing. I don't even really read through the script. I just kind of hit record, cold read a first take. If it's great, then I'll send it. If it asks for two takes, I'll read it again and then I'll send it. If my first read is terrible or if I mess up a word or something, I'll stop. I'll go back to the beginning. Or if the first part of the take was good, I'll stop as soon as I make a mistake, take a breath and go back to the last good place and jump right in. I punch and roll everything I do and I never listen back. I just do it. I make sure that there are no mistakes because I'm punching and rolling the whole way through, so I don't have to edit. Once the audition is done, I crossfade between regions so you don't ever have like a little click between when you stop and start in the recording. But literally, like, I just record. If it felt good when I did it, I label it correctly and I send it off. And in that way, I can do, you know, in 30 minutes, I can do 10 auditions.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So what other,
it's pretty easy.
What other forms of marketing do you do that you found to be successful other than just auditioning on casting sites?
I audition mostly now with my representatives, my agents and my managers. Okay. I don't do a lot of online casting anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to do a ton, but now that I'm working with more national brands and things, I tend to not really do as many online casting auditions as I used to. As far as marketing is concerned, I don't do any direct marketing, really.
Okay.
It's just not part of my business. Auditioning gives me joy. I love it. I love being flexible. I love doing lots of different things. I love doing animation, you know, and then the next audition is like a murder show. And then the next audition is a commercial. And then the next audition is a medical thing or whatever. I love the flexibility. I love the practice it gives me. Researching companies and trying to find the right email address for the person that I'm supposed to contact and reaching out to them and showing them my demos or my work or that, like, doesn't give me joy. like Marie Kondo says, it doesn't spark joy, right?
Throw it out.
So I just don't do it. And for my business, it hasn't made a difference at all that I don't do it. I've been very successful without it. So I feel like maybe I don't need to do it. I do occasionally reach out to my past clients and tell them I'm going out of town. So I kind of stay top of mind. I try to share my work on social media. I don't really use LinkedIn very much. But you know, all of that just goes to show that there are many ways to be a voice actor and to have a successful career.
Right.
Like I always come back to Christian Lance, who I think is like just the best ever. He's wonderful as a person and a voice actor. He doesn't even have a website. Hugely successful voice actor. Doesn't even have a website. He has agents and he works through his agents and he does all union work, no direct marketing, no online casting sites, doesn't even have a website. He doesn't need one because that's not how his business works.
Right.
Same for me. I love auditions. I do a ton of auditions. I'm a successful voice talent, no direct marketing. I don't like it. Don't want to do it. Doesn't feel happy to me. So I just don't. And my business runs fine without it. For other people though, they might find that they hate auditioning and they love direct marketing. And so that works for them and their business. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the person.
Gotcha.
No one way is better than another.
Right. And so I know you have this conference coming up, Vocation. What was kind of the inspiration for that? And if I may, with so many different businesses being completely different in how they operate in the voiceover industry, what do you guys plan on teaching on the business of voiceover?
Yeah. So this will actually be our 6th Vocation conference.
Fantastic.
We've done a few online, a couple in person in New York, and this one takes place in Cancun, Mexico at Moon Palace Cancun. And it's going to be super fun and awesome.
Yeah.
At this conference, we have Tracy Lindley is coming to talk about using LinkedIn
Tracy.
For direct marketing. Yeah, she's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Maria Pendolino, who's like just super fantastic, amazing,
so
is probably
going
to, I love her. She's great. She's going to talk about negotiation. She did a negotiation seminar at the first Vocation in New York that was like, just everyone loved it. It's awesome. We are having Jordan Reynolds coming to talk about home studios. Mara Juno is going to come talk about characters and the business side of being a character voice actor. Sarah Natacheny is coming to talk about the business of dubbing. Everett Oliver is coming to talk about casting and animation and the business side of how to get into animation. Tina Marasco from Sound and Fury is coming to talk about casting as well. We just have so many people. I mean, the thing is, it's a lot of different industries, mm-hmm. but a lot of information crosses over. And so, I don't know, it works out well, I think. And at other conferences, you get a lot of performance coaching, which mm-hmm. is great. But if there's a class that we're like, oh, I forgot, Dave Fennoy is our keynote speaker. And he's also going to be teaching a class on the business of video games.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if Dave Fennoy is at VO Atlanta teaching a video game performance class,
I was there.
And at the same time, someone is teaching a class on how to file your taxes as an LLC, which one are you going to want to go to? Dave Fennoy teaching video games, right?
Right. Of course.
Way more fun.
Yeah.
But we all kind of need to know how to file our taxes also.
That's true.
So if you have a conference that is solely dedicated to just the businessy things, then you can really focus on the business and you can take a weekend to really focus on how to structure your business, how to get more job opportunities, how to set yourself up for success and how to kind of take your career to that next level. And it's just that for the weekend, which I think people find very useful.
Yeah,
I find
like
it useful.
Magic. I love the business side of it. I do.
I love it too.
And you wear so many hats with vocation and your studio and two kids and a husband. What does your average day look like?
Yes. That's a really good question.
I know it changes, but
It
like
changes from day to day.
basic structure.
The basic structure is I work with a lot of East Coast clients, even though I'm on the West Coast because I started on the East Coast. So I typically wake up around 6:30, 7. And I might have sessions, or I might get my kids ready for school and then I don't have sessions until 8. But I do have early morning sessions most of the time. So the kids go away to school at 8 o'clock. I typically have sessions then from 8 to 12 or 8 to 1. They come back from school. I usually take a break from 1 to, I don't know, after dinner. Like the afternoon and evenings, I'm usually with them at dance and soccer practice and taekwondo and all the stuff they're doing. And then I come back, make them dinner, get them ready for bed, and then I go back into the booth and I work from about 8 to 9, 9:30. Just the last round of auditions, last round of work. So it's usually like the morning is really my big work time. I also I run 4 miles a day, which is very important to me now because I sit so much. And I'm getting older. I'm not that old. I'm 37, but as I get older, I want to be sure to like keep moving, and it's just like a nice mental thing and makes me feel good, and it's just like an hour out of my day, and then I get back to work. But I also, that's just the voiceover side.
Right. Yeah, what else do you do outside of
The other
work? How do you recharge?
no, I mean that's just the voiceover part of my business.
Oh,
I
okay.
also I'm also the co-chair of the vocation conference, so that happens at little parts throughout the day, creating marketing emails, creating social media posts, creating, driving engagement in our Facebook group, things like that. And now I'm also the vice president of the National Association of Voice Actors, and we have pretty regular meetings, and we are in the process of getting health insurance for voice actors in 2023, which is going to be a big deal when it does happen. And so we have a lot of stuff that we're working on with that as well. So it's like voiceover, vocation, and Nava. And then also, I mentioned in the beginning that my career has come full circle from Annie to now. And that is because my daughter is now in Annie in this with the same production company that I did my first show in.
Is she playing
And they were
Tess?
like, huh?
Is she playing Tess?
She's not playing Tessie. She is a lead orphan. They gave her like a little extra part so she can be on stage with Annie more than the rest of the orphans. But they were like, hey, we need more grown-ups in this show. Do you want to like maybe play Miss Hannigan? I was like, yes.
That's cool.
So now I'm gonna play Miss Hannigan next week. So
That's
I'm learning a
fantastic.
role, doing my own voiceover business, vocation, and Nava. And then like dance and taekwondo and all of that stuff. It's good. It's a fun life.
So what are like hobbies of you? What do you do outside of the booth? How do you like recharge those batteries? Because
I
that sounds
love
exhausting.
spending time. It's,
Not when
I
you
am a
love it,
person
but
who, well, I'm a person who prefers being busy. If I'm not busy, I feel drained. I don't know if that makes any
that
sense.
makes
If I
perfect
am
sense.
busy, it's like I'm running and running and running and going and going and going, and I can keep going and going and going. And then I go to sleep at night, I sleep well, it's great. When I don't have enough to do, I feel like I can't do anything. So being busy recharges me automatically. But I also love, this is like so cheesy and dumb,
Go for
but I love hanging out with my parents and my sister
it.
and my aunts and uncles. And like my parents live a mile away from us now. My sister lives 5 houses down. we get together and have big dinners with all of our kids and wine and cocktails and barbecue. And we have an awesome neighborhood of friends with kids. And so we get together and like entertaining, having people over or going to their house and just like socializing. I absolutely love it. And I also love going to voiceover industry things. I mean, that's so dumb. It's dumb of me to say.
That's not dumb.
I just love work. I just want to be around people I work with all the time. But
well,
it's really
true. Also, one of my favorite things about going to voiceover conferences is when you're working in the booth all day, even with directed sessions with clients, sometimes it gets kind of isolating.
Yeah.
And so just having that sense of camaraderie and all of these people understand, like actually get what I do on a day-to-day basis. While you talk to your friends and family and they're like, oh, that sounds cool. How do I do that? Or like, oh, you're making money doing that? Like,
yeah.
No, like it's a room
or
full
they like
of people.
Assume that we must all be starving artists.
Right. But it's a room full of people with one, information that you want, which we're always hungry for. And two, it's a bunch of friends that we don't get to see very often that get it.
I
love work conferences.
Do you find that you are more of an extrovert or more of an introvert?
It depends.
Yeah.
I bounce back and forth. So I do get anxiety every once in a while, but for the most part, it depends on the environment. So at a voiceover conference, because that I live and breathe voiceover, I want to meet everybody. I want to know who everybody is, and I want to pick their brains and be their friends and go have coffee or go grab a drink and like, let's talk, or let's talk outside of work and stuff like that. Let's talk outside of voiceover, because Uncle Roy always hates when you talk shop over and over again. But if it's like a new environment where I don't know anybody, or it's just something I'm unfamiliar with, then I'm like, I don't know how to start small talk in this unfamiliar water. So, I mean, it just really depends on the environment.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I find that I mean, I don't think that anyone would call me an introvert. But
no,
you know what's really interesting?
Is... I have way too many videos of you dancing.
my daughter, who's 5, is like, I think this just goes to show that we are all very much born with the personalities that we end up having.
Right.
Like, I know there are exceptions, and I know that you can, you know, mold yourself one direction or another. But my daughter, who is 5, from the moment she was born, I swear, she was an extrovert. From the time she could walk, she would just, like, walk up to random strangers and just hug them, which, like, babies don't do. And now at 5, she can walk into any room with people of any age, kids, grown-ups, teenagers, adults, old people, it doesn't matter. She can walk into any room and she's like, hi, I'm Halia. What's your name? I really like your shirt. They're like,
super cute.
They're like, wow. She's like way more extroverted than I am somehow. And that's, I'm in awe of her.
Well, let's see which one she picks, performer, teacher, or police officer.
Or police officer. I know. What's weird is that even on my husband's side of the family, they have a ton of performers, teachers, and police officers.
That's
he crazy. And I are not even related. Thank God.
<That's> crazy.
But his mom is a performer, and she worked in HR, but she's also like taught kids a lot. His grandpa was a police officer. You know, it's really weird. His grandfather was actually the first, or maybe the second, African American police officer in San Francisco.
That's cool.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Not related to voiceover at all. Just
right.
Just an interesting family fact.
Well, if you were to like sit down right now and you were to write yourself a letter from before you had transitioned from opera to voiceover, what would you want to tell your past self?
Oh.
What would you tell younger Karin?
You know, I always... When I was an opera singer, I always thought quitting opera would mean that I was a failure. And a lot of my friends who are stage performers or who like wanted that for themselves, they have felt similarly, where like, if you don't become a star, it means you failed. And I used to listen to my opera colleagues talk about people who'd left the industry, like, oh, well, I don't even think she sings anymore. Or like, oh
Yeah.
yeah, she was like such a star in college, but now, like, I don't know, I guess she's like teaching at a university or something. And they would just like talk about it in such a negative way. And I knew that if I left, they were going to talk about me like that too. And I think I would just tell my younger self, there is a whole fulfilling, wonderful, important life outside of opera. And you will find so much fulfillment in an industry that you didn't think that you never imagined yourself being in. I mean, I did kind of imagine myself being in it because as a child, we all of us of a certain age love Disney princesses.
Oh yeah, that's my goal, is to be a Disney princess.
Right? That's
That's my
everyone's goal.
whole
We all
career
want to
goal.
be a Disney princess. Problem is now you can't be a Disney princess unless you are medium famous.
Right.
And most voice actors are not, Mandy Moore
Right.
or like Idina Menzel or
Well,
you have to
see,
be like medium famous.
that's our problem, Karin. We just have to get famous.
I know we just have to get famous.
Right. We'll make
No, but
TikToks. That's how everybody's skipping the rest of the steps, is just making
I know, and I always think like, oh,
TikToks.
maybe now I'm too old. Maybe I'm too old to be a Disney princess. But then I think like Idina Menzel was Elsa when she was in her 40s. So there's still time. Yeah, but no, I would just tell myself like, keep going down the path that you're going. Every single thing you do will lead to the ending that you're meant to go to. And I'm sure that there's a multiverse full of different Karins who are doctors or opera singers or
Like the movie Absolutely Anything All at Once. Is that how you say it? Absolutely Anything
I
All at Once.
haven't seen that. I know which one you're talking about. Everything Everywhere All the Time,
Yeah,
All at Once,
something
something like
like
that.
that. Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I really want to. I
It's
hear
just
it's
people able to
fantastic
tap into other
into all the
multiverse
multiverse.
themselves
Yeah, all the
to gain their
multiverse.
skills.
The
Yeah.
multiverse theory is
Yeah.
so interesting.
Really good movie.
It's like Rick and Morty, right? Rick and Morty's all based on the multiverse theory.
Yeah, the movie, which I won't try to repeat again because I keep butchering the name, is more they tap into those other multiverses and they gain the skills of that person. So say if
Oh,
you
nice.
had changed life paths and went and learned kung fu and spent your life doing that, you could tap into the version of yourself that did that, and so now you know kung fu. So, yeah, that's really
So
cool.
it's not a matter of just sticking something into the back of your head
No,
and then
it's
saying,
the
I know
those
Kung Fu.
these weird things trigger the different timelines that you can jump to. It's a whole thing. Watch the movie. It's a good movie.
I want to see it for sure.
Well, where can people find you, and where can people sign up for Vocation?
Yeah, please come to Vocation in Cancun. Oh, let me tell you just a tiny bit about it. It's going to be at
Yeah.
Moon Palace Cancun, which is an all-inclusive resort, which means that your conference fee and your hotel fee are all you have to pay. That's it. Every food, drinks, room service, parties at night, all of that is included with your hotel fee and conference fee.
Cool.
So it's super fun. It's going to be great. It takes place February 9th through 12th, 2023. We still have tickets left. They might not be there forever, but right now we do. And you can go to vocationconference.com to check that out. If you want to find me, I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Karin Gilfrey, spelled Carin, literally like car in the garage. Gilfrey, Gilfry, at Karin Gilfrey. And yeah, that's about it.
Well, thanks for coming on. This has been a
Thanks so much
blast.
for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed hearing Karin's journey from an opera background to becoming a fierce force of a businesswoman. If you'd like to get to know more about her and hear some of her amazing work, or learn about Vocation, you can visit her website at www.karingilfrey.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.theocoffeeshop.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.